I read something not too long ago that I found really interesting. There's a mutation in our genes that at least in part determines whether or not you like the taste of cilantro. Cilantro is an herb used in foods all over the world, and for people that do not have this mutation, the taste of the herb, or so I've been told, adds an enjoyable flavor to these foods. However, for the people who do not have this mutation, cilantro tastes like soap. It has repulsive, metallic-like bitterness. My wife, Petra, likes cilantro. I do not. And while neither of us have ever had tests done to see if we have this underlying mutation, it seems pretty obvious which one of us would have that genetic variation. You might say that change is evident. Well, in a similar but much more substantial way, there is a change that happens when a person comes to faith in Christ. And isn't this what Paul is saying about the fruit of the Spirit? Where there was once a person that was dead in sin and sowing corruption in the flesh, when that person repents of sins and in faith claims Jesus as Lord and Savior, there is now a person that is alive and sowing life. There aren't just little changes here and there. It's not just mutations of our genes. It's not just a set of rules. No, a believer becomes a new thing completely. As it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And this evening, we are going to look at patience in light of this change. And I have 3 points for you. We're going to define patience. We're going to see how God exemplifies patience and how we can live out this patience and grow in it. So point one, how do we define patience? What is patience? Patience in general is unavoidable. Just consider the nature of our existence. We are confined in time. We can do nothing about yesterday and cannot see tomorrow, let alone the next moment. So we are always, in a sense, waiting for something. Then if we add to this waiting a mix of our sin nature, a world bound in futility under the curse and every limitation of our frail and mortal beings, our flesh has every reason to groan and grumble and whine. We are not born patient. Just spend time with any young child and this becomes very clear. We might even say that patience in the flesh isn't really patience at all, but really the flesh only produces different degrees of less impatient, or if you prefer the politically correct way of saying it, delayed gratification. The patience of the flesh establishes its hope in self-satisfaction, things that feel good and look good, and things that build up our self-importance. But where should the Christian set his hope? Listen to James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. We see that this is a patience that waits for hope, for the coming of the Lord, and it is patience willing to suffer for the sake of that future hope. Consider the prophets, consider Job, consider those who counted every cost, every loss, persecution, suffering, even death, and still blessed God in the hope of something better. This is not patience we have in the flesh. Actually, this is patience that opposes the flesh. The flesh recoils at loss and suffering, but this patience comes from God and longs for God. It actually rejoices in suffering, as it says in Romans 5, 3 through 5. We rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that he's given us. And we see this patience best exemplified by God. And that leads me to my second point. How does God exemplify patience? Well, let me start by asking the question. What on earth does God have anything to do with patience? God is eternal. He is not bound by time. He knows the beginning from the end. He is not limited by weakness. He is not tainted by sin. But God's word says he's patient. So why? Well, God has no sin. And mankind does have sin. And we see from the very beginning of creation the source of conflict in which God shows his patience. We understand that God in his love and goodness made all of creation and made mankind after his own likeness to share in his love and goodness. But in Adam, sin entered the world. Adam rebelled against God's authority and God's good design, choosing to satisfy his own desires rather than obeying God. You might say this is where the mutation of all mutations occurred, and I'm not just talking about the hating of cilantro. Mankind, who should have enjoyed God's presence, who should have loved and obeyed God, now hate their loving Creator and serve themselves instead. And mankind deserves judgment and death. And God drove mankind from his presence because sinful people cannot live in the presence of a holy God. And this is a problem, because one day, as it says in Acts 17:3, God has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness. God will return with judgment, and sinful man cannot stand in the presence of a holy God. So we have man's sin here at the very beginning, and at the very end, God's judgment of sin. So what's this here in the middle? Listen to what it says in 2 Peter 3:8 through 9. But do not overlook this fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. This, all this time between when mankind turned from God and the end of time when God will judge all sin, all these thousands of years, this is God's patience. And what kind of patience is it? Is it a you know what you did wrong and you'll get what's coming to you patience? No. Is it a I'm going to give you the silent treatment until you figure out what you did wrong patience? No. It's not even I'm rooting for you, and if you just keep trying hard enough, I'm sure you can make things right patience. No, God's patience is patience with good news. It is gospel patience. God's patience holds out every virtue, desiring that all would come to repentance, desiring that all would turn from their sin and claim him as Lord and Savior. This is patience that offers love in the face of hate, peace in the face of enmity, patience in our stubbornness, kindness to our cruelness, goodness to our wickedness, faithfulness to our rebellion, gentleness to our hardness and self-control, where we would live a prodigal and reckless life with no care of him. And he gives all these things to us in Jesus to draw people to himself, to save sinners, to bring many to repentance. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. If you are here tonight and have not repented of your sins, would you consider God's patience for you? Would you consider that Jesus, God's own son, bore in his own body and soul every wrath and every judgment that we deserve, even while we hated him and had nothing to do with him? And he did this to save all who would repent and believe in him. Would you consider that right now? God is patient towards you. For your sake, he gives you time for repenting and believing. He gives every grace for your repenting and believing. But would you also consider that there is a day where God in his righteousness will judge the living and the dead? There is a decided day when he will return and we will give an account to him. So please do not delay and do not think his patience is slackness. No, this time right now is patience towards you. Would you repent of your sins and trust him as your Lord and Savior. But maybe you're thinking, could God even have patience towards me? Certainly he couldn't forgive me. Would you consider the man named Saul in the book of Acts? When men murdered a man named Stephen for speaking about Jesus, when they threw stones at him until he died, Saul held their coats and approved what they did. Saul hated Jesus. He dragged Christian men and women off to prison, wanting to put them to death. He breathed murder towards Jesus and his church. He got permission to go hunt them down from town to town. This Saul, Jesus himself confronted, saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" This Saul, who would later be called Paul, the same Paul who wrote the words we study tonight about the fruit of the Spirit and the goodness that flows from a believer's heart. Oh, what a change is evident in his life. He writes of himself in 1 Timothy 1:15 through 16, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, as the worst sinner, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life." God is patient even to you. Would you come and receive the mercy he offers? And you, brothers and sisters, if this is what God's patience looks like, patience toward his enemy for the sake of their saving, what should patience look like in your God-filled life? And this brings us to point three. What should our patience look like, and how can we grow in patience? To answer this, we need to start again at the beginning. We have been changed. We have been made new creations by faith in Jesus Christ. Recently, we've seen this symbolized in real life right here behind me. How many new believers have been baptized recently? And as they walk down into the water and BJ lowers them under, what does he say? "Buried with Christ, raised to a new set of rules. Raised so they can work really hard at being good. Raised with some slight modification in their DNA so they might appreciate cilantro." No. Buried with Christ. Raised in the newness of life. We can have confidence that the Holy Spirit dwells in us and is doing a good work. The seed of faith has been planted and it is in our new nature now to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So our patience will look like God's patience. But you might say the puzzle pieces that I'm putting together today don't quite seem to be matching the picture on the front of the puzzle box, if you know what I mean. Yes, our flesh opposes the work that the Spirit is doing. Even in the death throes, our flesh is fighting against the good that God would do. But this isn't an excuse for sin. This is to say that we need to confess our sins often, both to God and one another. We're literally our worst enemies, but thank God our Savior is stronger than ourselves and willing to forgive. And it is in him that we grow. So what does that mean practically for us? One thing, make sure our hope is clear. If we don't know what better thing that we are waiting for, how can we wait for it? How do you hang on to a promise if you don't know what that promise is? Brothers and sisters, make sure we are establishing ourselves where God is, that we are abiding in him. This is what James was saying. Establish your hearts. Establish your hearts in the good soil. Establish your hearts where you will receive the rain required for your fruit to grow. This is what Jesus is saying in the parable of the sower in Luke 8:15. "As for that seed in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience." There is a reason why we pay Pastor BJ and Pastor Brad to bring God's word on Sunday mornings, because we need this more than life. This word is life. And it's in his word that we can clearly see the hope we're waiting for. Also, brothers, while we make sure our hope is clear, don't let anything block our view of our hope. Fruit grows in the good soil, but the seeds that fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares of the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. This is what Paul warns the church in his letter to the Corinthians. Even though they have every spiritual gift, even though they have heard all the big name preachers, Paul, Apollos, Cephas, Paul tells them that they should have all sorts of baby trees sprouting up around them. The fruit should have grown, ripened, dropped. The new seed should have taken root and sprouted. But no, the Corinthians are stunted. Their growth has been choked by their fleshly concern, their jealousy and their strife. Isn't this what James warns against? Do not grumble against one another. This is the flesh rearing its ugly face again. Brothers and sisters, make sure that your patience isn't grumbling. Make sure it is not different degrees of less impatience. Make sure your patience doesn't look like I'm going to wait and avoid you and grumble about it until you figure out what you did wrong. Or patience that looks like I'm hoping you'll grow in Christ, but please do it over there until you grow up a little more. Make sure you are not thinking of yourselves too highly. Make sure you are putting to death your fleshly selfishness. Our patience ought to be with every good virtue, even at our own expense, for the sake of others. Bearing with one another, preferring one another, building each other up in our most holy faith, stirring each other up to good works. And let me just emphasize this patience giving ourselves for the sake of others, patience that looks like Jesus' patience. This patience is what reveals Jesus to a lost world. This is the good work that gives glory to our Father in heaven. And let me close with a word of warning and a word of hope. If you are not a believer, if you have not repented of your sins and received the free gift of God's salvation, then I have a warning for you. God's patience is for your sake now. Please do not neglect the time he gives. We will all have to give an account to our Maker. As it says in Romans 2, 6 through 8, he will render to each one according to his works, to those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. And to those who have placed their trust and hope in Jesus for the saving of your souls. I want to say a word about patience, particularly patience in suffering. James 1, 2 through 4 tells us, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet various trials of various kinds, for you know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let your steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. Brothers and sisters, I don't know the depths or darkness of your sorrows. I don't know what you've lost, what pain you endure day by day. The ridicule, the scorn, the persecution you suffer for righteousness' sake. But brothers and sisters, we know that in these things, the Holy Spirit in us is working on things that are eternal. Things that will last into eternity. Would you consider that he is growing his love in us? And as Corinthians says, love never ends. Would you consider that he will usher us into his joy that will never fade? He will lead us into everlasting peace. But beloved, would you consider this, that patience has an end? There is a day when your waiting will be over. There will be a day you are holding on to hope will be done and we can let go. Because the object of our hope has come, There will be a day, as the song says, every pain and evil we've long endured will be crushed by Christ our King. Beloved, this is our hope that Christ will return and we will be raised in his likeness. Our mortal bodies will be swallowed up into immortality. Our corruption made incorruptible. Our perishable will be made imperishable. And we will be finally like him. Let us be patient for this hope. And let us not grumble, but let us be working patiently to bring as many souls along as we can. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, your word. We thank you especially for right now for your hope. And we pray that tonight many would be able to see that hope clearly, maybe for the first time. Amen.